Here we go. It's another big week in the NFL for the Denver Broncos. This is the Broncos Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now, your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Broncos Wire editor, John Heath.
Hey there, welcome into the program. Friendly reminder right off the bat to hit the subscribe button for us. Search the Broncos Wire on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever works best for you. We appreciate you and we hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. And John, let's roll right into it with our top takeaways from this 28-13 win over the Chargers, a big win for the Broncos. And here's my leadoff takeaway. Drew Lock is a disaster. Okay, that's where I want to start. Because I think that's one of the number one, besides the Broncos winning and looking good winning against, you know, I don't think the Chargers are a great team, but they're a decent team. And a team that, you know, if you want to do anything and the Broncos wanted to get themselves back into the mix here, they had to beat the Chargers, and they did. Good for them. But Drew Lock, I mean, so Teddy Bridgewater gets knocked out of this ball game in the first quarter. And Drew Lock was so bad that the Broncos basically taped up, numbed up Bridgewater, whatever they had to do at halftime, right? Because he goes back out there. And the Broncos are basically telling us that a 60% Bridgewater is better than a 100% Lock. And for a young player like Drew Lock, that's damning, right? It's on him. You know, I think that's what it is. It's on him. I mean, he said all the right things when Bridgewater won the job in the preseason. But clearly he hasn't done the right things to get better and be ready for his opportunities, right? Because he's had a couple opportunities in this regular season this year, and he has not taken advantage of them. And that interception late in the first half was just another example why, right? So I think my number one takeaway from a really good win over the Chargers, we should be talking about something else, but really my top take is Lock is a disaster.
That's my number one too. And I think you nailed it when you said the Broncos, they'd rather have an injured Teddy Bridgewater than a healthy Drew Lock, because they already proved that this season. A couple of weeks ago, I was frustrated when they started Bridgewater on a short week on Thursday Night Football coming off a concussion, and he had like an ankle injury and a thigh injury. Like, he was so banged up. And they still started him over Drew Lock. And I was like, if Drew Lock and him were really close in the competition, why don't you start Drew Lock? And I think Sunday was just yet another example of why. Because it's not just like coming in cold on Sunday, coming in cold earlier this season. Like, this is over the course of his whole career. He's had a problem with interceptions. He's had a problem with fumbles. Lock, like, basically tried to gift them. He put them back in the game. Like, the Chargers were not in that game. Denver's defense was playing so well. And, like, I'm not trying to suggest that Teddy Bridgewater is some, like, great quarterback or, like, the Broncos' future or, like, a franchise quarterback. He's not. He's limited. He is what he is. But at least, generally speaking, he at least takes care of the ball. And when you're running the ball well, like the Broncos are, and when you're playing defense well, like the Broncos are, you don't need Bridgewater to light up the scoreboard. If he protects the ball and moves the ball, that's good enough. And I know, like, sometimes it's frustrating when he throws the ball short of the sticks, and sometimes he does his checkdowns and stuff. I know a lot of Broncos fans are just, they're not happy with him. But as long as he's not throwing interceptions or fumbling the ball left and right, like, the Broncos, they've got a chance. They've got a chance to stay in games. They've got a chance to win. Like, with Teddy Bridgewater as the quarterback, they're right in the race for the AFC West. If Drew Lock is the QB and he's turning the ball over like he did last season and turning the ball over like he did on Sunday just in a handful of snaps, like, the Broncos aren't going to be winning as many games as they have been, especially, like, just looking ahead to this Sunday, like, against the Chiefs. If you look back at the Broncos' recent games against the Chiefs, their turnovers, including Drew Lock's turnovers, is a large reason why they couldn't stick with the Chiefs. It's shocking to me, Ryan. I cannot believe how many Broncos fans, how many diehard Drew Lock supporters are still in my mentions on Twitter and still commenting on Broncos Wire Facebook page, like, slamming Teddy Bridgewater and saying that, like, Teddy Bridgewater, this and that, he's so terrible, blah, blah, blah. Drew Lock, he's not getting reps in practice. And it's like, okay, whatever. He's not getting reps in practice. But there have been plenty of quarterbacks that have come in cold and come in and done a good enough job. And, like, you don't have to have reps in practice to know when you're driving, defending a 14-point lead just before halftime, to not force a pass that you don't need to force. Like, that's just making a dumb decision. Like, having snaps, knowing the playbook, having reps with the first team offense, that has nothing to do with making dumb decisions. And he's just, in my mind, he's too reckless with the ball. And, like, I'm sorry for, like, slamming Drew Lock. I know this is going to upset a lot of fans because he had so many supporters, but it's just, I'm tired of it. And honestly, there were some people on Twitter, some I wouldn't say level-headed because I feel like they're going the other extreme of the Drew Lock stance, but there were some people on Twitter that were like, we need to make Brett Rypien the backup quarterback and have Drew Lock be demoted to third string just because he was that poor. Because like if he took advantage of his opportunity, if Drew Lock would go in the game and play well, we could be on the complete opposite of this spectrum, and I could be saying, finally, the Broncos have their franchise quarterback. Like, I think that's a thing that Broncos fans have to understand. So many people on Twitter getting mad at me, I think they come across that I like dislike Drew Lock and I'm rooting for him to fail. And when he does a turnover, I'm be like, and I post the stats like Drew Lock had 2 turnover worthy plays in 5 snaps. I think people see that and they think I'm like, haha, yes, Drew Lock is bad again. Now I can dunk on him because I don't like it. Like, that's not the case at all. Like, he's a second round pick and he's a quarterback. So if they could use a high draft pick to land a franchise quarterback, I would love that. Like, I want Drew Lock to pan out. I don't want the Broncos to have another quarterback bust. I don't want another Paxton Lynch. I don't want another Brock Osweiler. Like, I want them to be successful, and I want Drew Lock. I wanted him to be the solution, but I'm not delusional. Like, he hasn't been, and I don't think he's going to be. And that doesn't mean I'm rooting for him to fail. I'm just tired of going through the same old, same old. At some point, you stop getting chances, and I think fans that are calling for him to start over Bridgewater, I can't understand it. I really think they're delusional.
Yeah, I don't know how you can after this performance, John, and the Broncos tell us all we need to know. Again, just patching Bridgewater up, doing whatever they did at halftime to get him back on the field. And again, Lock says all the right things, but he doesn't do the right things. He doesn't change anything. He's the same guy on the field, like you said, reckless with the ball. And I think this is a big Bridgewater game, right? Because fans can question whether he should be the starter or not, but fans have been all over him about that play, you know, questioning his toughness for not sticking his nose in there against Darius Slay, right, in that Philly game, not trying to make the tackle. Well, you can't really question Teddy Bridgewater's toughness and leadership now, because that was a gutsy second half, him coming back in that game. I think Bridgewater addressed it after that Philly game. I think his teammates had his back. His coaches clearly have his back because they're just deadly afraid of going back to Drew Lock. This should be a Bridgewater game, right? Like, shouldn't this be a week where we're celebrating Bridgewater's toughness and leadership and the way he was able to come in there after Drew Lock failed once again with another opportunity? I think that's where we should be.
Yeah, I think before the bye against the Eagles, like, it was a dumb moment. He made a mistake. And like you said, he admitted that. He said he made a dumb mistake. And then you just move on. And it's, what have you done for me lately? And what he's done for us lately, and not just lately, like against the Browns, he was playing through so many injuries. And then again on Sunday, he was kind of hobbling around during the game. You could see him being a little gimpy. And he comes back in and he guts it out and he helps them win the game. So I agree with you that, like, kudos to Bridgewater for being so tough. Like, yes, he made a bad, bad decision against the Eagles. He should have thrown himself in there. But it happened. We're moving on from it, and it's like, going forward, I'm not going to question his toughness, his effort, his desire. Like, he showed on Sunday, all that is there. In my mind, like, what happened in the Eagles game, it doesn't cancel out everything else we've seen him from him this season. And I think, like you're saying, we've seen his toughness and his willingness to be gritty and just gut it out. And so, like, I've said, like, he's a limited quarterback. He's not a perfect quarterback. He's not the answer. He's not the long-term guy. But for what the Broncos have right now, he's the best choice, and he's good enough to win with, because they've already won 6 games with him. And yeah, like, they could have done better against the Browns. They should have done better against the Eagles. But they can, when things are going, when things are clicking, Bridgewater is good enough. And, like, to me, Drew Lock is not good enough. So I just feel like we should – the Drew Lock versus Bridgewater stuff, in my mind, it's got to be put to bed. Fans got to stop being so hung up on that.
Yeah, it's a little comical at this point, because how many times is, you know, the writing's on the wall. Just watch the games. The games kind of tell us everything we need to know there. Lock's had all the practice time in the world, especially in the offseason. He's just not getting himself ready to take advantage of opportunities, and we see that over and over and over again. Okay, so my other big takeaway, John, was that, was it you or Pat Shurmur calling the plays for Denver this week? That's what I want to know, because, all right, obviously it was Pat Shurmur, but John, you've been begging, pleading, ask, you know, whatever you could do, banging your hand on the table. I know you don't get too riled up on these podcasts, but you've been saying, just give the running backs 30 rushing attempts combined. Just give them 30 plus rushing attempts. Everyone does it to the Broncos, it seems. Why can't we do it to other teams? And this quote from Bridgewater after the game was very telling, right? He says, quote, Coach put a number earlier this week pertaining to rush attempts, passing, things like that, and Coach Shermer hit that quota. And John, I just got to read between the lines and say that number was probably 30 rush attempts, right? Feels like a good game plan against the worst rushing defense in the league. The Broncos gave it to Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon a combined, 31 times? And it worked. Right? So you got to be happy with that gameplay by Pat Shermer.
Big time. Big time. And there will be people that bring up like game flow and like if you're down, if you're trailing, you got to pass the ball. And like I understand that to an extent. But a lot of the games the Broncos have been in, even the games they lost, for most of the game, they're within like two touchdowns. And until you get to like the fourth quarter, two touchdowns is not so big of a deficit that you just have to start chucking the ball. Like you can still be running the ball much later in the game, even when you're trailing, than the Broncos have been for a lot of their games this season. I just haven't understand it. And finally, I know people will point out that they were leading for much of the game. So honestly, I don't know how much Shermer deserves too much credit, because it may have just been he finally felt comfortable because they actually had a lead. But I'm saying even when you're not leading, just pound the rock, because Melvin Gordon, we get frustrated with his fumbles, but he's a fine back. And Javonte Williams, he has proven over and over again, he's so explosive. He's so durable. Like, I'm just so happy with Javonte Williams. I can't believe, I'm sure we'll touch on Pat Surtain in a little bit, but like they got Pat Surtain in the first round, and then the second round they got Javonte Williams. Like, to me, that is just so phenomenal. When you could, like, Javonte Williams, he should have been a first round pick. Him not being a first round pick is silly. And I know some people don't value running backs and stuff, but when you're that good of a back, like at least a late first round pick. So I can't say enough good things about Javonte Williams. And when you have him and someone like Melvin Gordon, who's perfectly capable, why would you not run it 30 plus times a game? Like, I just think Sunday is an example. Like, that's the kind of thing. It's not pretty, like running the ball, playing good defense, and Bridgewater not letting up the box score. Like, a lot of fans don't find that attractive. It's not like the Peyton Manning year when they set the record for like yards and points and he set the record for passing touchdowns. Like, that's pretty football. That's what a lot of fans love. But this, for the Broncos, it's a winning formula. Like, you can win games this way, and because Bridgewater, he protects the ball, the running backs move the ball, and the defense gets the ball back and stops the team from scoring points. Like, that's playoff football. Like, you look at all kinds of teams that have made deep playoff runs, and I'm probably getting my head itself ahead of myself suggesting the Broncos could make a deep playoff run, but my point is it's a proven formula, so I just think stick with it.
Will the Broncos be part of this AFC playoff picture? We'll cover that, and we got some stuff on Patrick Surtain coming up next in our questions of the week, but first, fantasy advice from thehuddle.com. Stick with us.
This is the Tipico Sportsbook Fantasy Minute. Let's make this interesting.
Corey Benigni here with thehuddle.com to bring you strong plays for week 13. Quarterback Taylor Heinicke, Washington football team at Las Vegas Raiders. While Heinicke has multiple touchdown passes in only one of the last seven outings, this could be a get-right game for the gunslinger against a Las Vegas defense that has yielded 25.9 plus PPR points to four quarterbacks in the last six games. Over the last 3 weeks, this matchup is 36.2% easier to exploit than the league average, largely thanks to Patrick Mahomes, but even Teddy Bridgewater dropped nearly 30 points against his defense going back to week six. Heinicke and Washington have momentum on their side, and the quarterback has the weaponry to approach 25 fantasy points. Running back Alexander Mattison, Minnesota Vikings at Detroit Lions. Mattison will make his third start of the year with Dalvin Cook set to miss time with a shoulder injury. The Boise State product was thrust into the same role as Cook in the two prior starts, rushing 26 times for 112 yards and 25 for 113 in weeks 3 and 5 respectively. He added 6 catches for 59 yards and 7 catches, 40 yards and a touchdown via the passing game in those same two contests. The Lions were his Week 5 opponent, and they allowed 28.3 PPR points. Detroit has been among the softest of softies versus running backs in this season, giving up 17 total touchdowns in 11 games, including 7 receiving scores and 141.4 total yards per game on average. Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Chase Claypool versus Baltimore Ravens. Claypool has come on a little bit of late, registering 8 catches on 17 targets in the last two games since returning from a toe injury in Week 10. He has not scored since Week 5, but has a better than average chance if he can avoid Marlon Humphrey more often than not. Deontay Johnson should see Humphrey more than he'll see Anthony Averett, which leaves Claypool to exploit one of the best individual matchups of the year. And even if he draws Humphrey, the Pro Bowl cornerback hasn't been as strong as he had in recent years. Something in the neighborhood of 15 to 18 PPR points can be expected. CJ Uzomah, Cincinnati Bengals versus Los Angeles Chargers. LA has done a good job of limiting tight ends' yardage and receptions, but also has been the easiest defense to play against in terms of getting into the end zone. And that is the only reason why anyone should consider playing Uzomah in fantasy. He has been mostly useless since a midseason spurt of 5 touchdowns in 4 games, so realize any inclusion of him into a fantasy lineup is among the wildest of gambles in Week 13. Be sure to check out thehuddle.com for more award-winning content as we help put you into the playoffs.
That was your Tipico Sportsbook Fantasy Minute. Win your fantasy football league with thehuddle.com and use them to dominate player prop bets at Tipico Sportsbook. For a limited time, new Tipico Sportsbook users in Colorado and New Jersey from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. See Tipico.com for terms and conditions. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado.
All right, it's time for our questions of the week. My questions for John that he's not prepped on. And here's my first one for you, John. The Broncos are now the first team out of the AFC playoff picture at 6-5. Can you believe that? So given the state of the conference, how wild it is in the AFC, do you consider this game against Kansas City a must-win for Denver?
For the AFC West, I'd say it's pretty close for getting their own division title. I think if they win this game, their chances of winning the AFC West skyrocket because they'll have a head-to-head win against Kansas City on the road. They'll have a better division record than Kansas City. They'll have a better conference record than Kansas City. And they're just going to feel awesome if they go to Kansas City and beat them. And then the final game of the season hosts them in Denver, perhaps with the division on the line. So I think if they win this, they're pretty close to having the playoffs locked up. And that's probably so premature for me to say that, but I would say that. I think it just put them in such a good spot. But at the same time, I'm not sure. I'm not ready to call it a must win just because nobody's really – few teams besides the Patriots who are really hot right now, a lot of teams in the AFC, they're not really running away with it. So even if the Broncos lose and drop to 6-6 with the division games they got left and they got the Lions at home, they're like – again, we go back to these winnable games. Like if they drop that Lions game, it's going to be so frustrating. But I just think it's not a must win because the AFC, I feel like nobody's really running away, or at least the teams they're competing with are not running away. So I don't think it's a must win, but I think if they do win, they're going to be in great shape.
Yeah, it would have been if you lost to the Chargers, right? But you beat the Chargers, the Colts, Browns, and Steelers all lost. So that allowed Denver to kind of scoot right up those rankings there. So not a must win. If you win this game against Kansas City, though, you're in the driver's seat for the division. There's no question about it.
Big time.
But yeah, you hit on it, John. That was my thought as well. You got the winless Lions coming up next, right? So if you could just go 1-1 in these games against Kansas City and the Lions, you're probably in a similar spot that you're in right now, right? Right on the edge of the playoffs. And then you could just kind of gear up for this big stretch run against Bengals, Raiders, Chargers, Chiefs. You know, the last time you had a run like this earlier in the season, you lost all four of them. So hopefully you can gear up and beat these four AFC kind of fringe or you know, kind of fringe playoff teams and get yourself in. So definitely not a must win against Kansas City. Not the end of the world if they lose, because I think that stretch run at the end, Bengals, Raiders, Chargers, Chiefs again, like that's where their playoff fate will be defined, right? Right there in that last stretch there.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be coming up on do or die time, but it's not this week. Like, of course, they're getting up for this game, but of course they want to win this game. But I'm not going to be like lamenting, oh, season's over if they don't get a win in Kansas City.
Yeah, and we'll have some thoughts about this matchup here coming up. I actually kind of like Denver's chances going up against Kansas City, but we'll get into that. Question number two, John. True or false, Patrick Surtain has justified his status as a number 9 overall draft pick with his play this year. Now, we do have players like Micah Parsons, who's a freaking superstar linebacker for the Cowboys right now, right? And the quarterbacks, Justin Fields and Mac Jones. Especially Mac Jones is playing really, really well for the Patriots as the Pats are surging. So you have, you know, some of these like kind of really talented guys that went after Surtain, but true or false, the Broncos got it right. What do you think?
Right now, I think they definitely got it right. If George Payton's not able to get a quarterback next year and Mac Jones and Justin Fields go on to have great careers, then in hindsight, I might say he made a mistake, but at this moment, I think he got it right because he brings back so many memories of me, of Champ Bailey. And I don't want some Broncos fans to freak out and be like, whoa, okay, slow down. Champ Bailey's a Hall of Famer. Like, I'm not saying that he is Champ Bailey, but just the way he carries himself, how good he is, the way he ran down the sideline, that pick six, like he just looks like him, like with the little arm sleeves that he wears.
That was a cool video you put on Broncos Wire too and on Twitter. That was awesome. People should check that out.
Yeah, it just, I love having a lockdown cornerback again. And we talked about last week, after he had two interceptions on Sunday and one of them being a pick six, like those highlights are over everywhere. Every NFL fan now, if they weren't already, he's already a name. So probably most everybody's familiar with him. But now everybody sees that he's making plays. Like, I think Surtain, he's going to have a decent shot to make the Pro Bowl this year. And at, like, he's just a rookie, and he's already so good. So you just think if his career trajectory continues like this, like, he's the kind of guy that could become an all-pro cornerback, like, pretty quickly. Like, I don't think it's outlandish to think next year he could be in contention for, like, an all-pro nod. So if you have a lockdown corner, and, like, hopefully he stays healthy, like, this, he could be in Denver for a decade. He could be in Denver for, like, 13, 14, 15 years. Like, if he has a career length of Champ Bailey, like, I'm going to be so stoked. Like, again, I'm getting way, way ahead of myself. I do this a lot. But, like, if he continues on this path, like, he could be in contention to have, like, a Hall of Fame career himself. And I know that's crazy to say, just, like, what are we, 10 games into his career? But it's just, I love what I've seen from him. And I absolutely think he was the right pick at 9. And, again, in hindsight, if the Broncos aren't able to get a quarterback and the guys they passed on turn out to be great quarterbacks, in hindsight, of course you have to have a quarterback. But I'm just banking on the possibility of, you know, maybe there's a Russell Wilson, maybe there's an Aaron Rodgers, or even, like, say they don't get a quarterback this coming year. If they get a quarterback in, say, 2023, and they're set at quarterback in 2023, and then, like I said, if they have Pat Surtain for, like, a decade of a lockdown corner, like, at some quarterback – kind of trumps all. Like, you're not going to go anywhere without one. So it's hard to say what the future is going to look like for them. But at this very moment, maybe I'm naive to assume at some point they're going to get a quarterback, but I just am. I have to assume that. Like, I have to try to be optimistic. I'm fine with the pick. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think it's true. I think he's the right pick. And because I think it's so hard to find these lockdown corners. They don't grow on trees. They're hard to get. The Broncos made the pick. And now I think because you're so good on defense and you have young talent on defense, now you can kind of go all in for the quarterback over the next couple of years. So I agree. But like you said, you got to find that quarterback, or we'll always be battling these fringe playoff teams for wild card spots, right? With Kansas City in this division, you have to find the quarterback sooner rather than later. But yeah, no, true. Even though I do love Micah Parsons is a freaking superstar.
Yeah, I think he's great.
Yeah,
but
I think Patrick Surtain is on his way too. I think he's going to be a superstar as well. And a lockdown corner just gives you so much flexibility. And oh, by the way, he's on this rookie deal for the next, what, 4 years?
And a fifth-year option.
Yeah, it just gives the Broncos so much flexibility. So yeah, it's true. All right, question number three, John. In the two traditional Thanksgiving Day games, right, so the Lions and Cowboys game on Thanksgiving, there were 43 penalties called for a combined 393 yards. So I was just so frustrated watching these games, especially the Cowboys-Raiders game where there was a flag like every 5 seconds, John, that I had to ask you, if you were the commissioner, how would you fix the officiating problem in the league right now, right? Because it's inconsistent at best. It's insanely frustrating for fans trying to watch the games. And every week we seem to have flags deciding games in the fourth quarter overtime, right? And even in that Cowboys-Raiders game, there was a flag that set up the game-winning field goal for the Raiders. So how would you fix it if you were the commissioner? What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think the taunting penalty, the way it's being interpreted right now, I think that needs to be addressed. But I think that's more than just Roger Goodell, because he kind of answers to the owners. And it sounds like a majority, or at least a handful of the owners, were the ones that wanted this new interpretation of the taunting rule. So I feel like, first of all, you got to calm down the taunting rule. Like, that, it's gone way overboard. And then second, I think you just let them play a little bit more. Like, don't be so tic-tacky of a guy not turning his head around and barely making any contact at all, and the ball hits him, like, in his back or his head or something. Like, that's not PI. If he's not, like, making a lot of contact with the receiver, like, don't be so trigger-happy to throw a flag on pass interference just for tic-tacky stuff. In my mind, like, I'd rather them have a little bit of contact and let a little bit go than be itching to throw a flag for every single little contact they see. Like offensive linemen, people say it's a popular saying that there's holding on every play, but it's not held on every play because they don't call all the little tic-tacky stuff. It's the egregious, the serious, like you see a guy get around the edge and the guy's like holding his arm out, holding him. It's like, oh, okay, that's holding for sure. But there's almost always holding. It's just, it's kind of in this inside, or it's just for a brief moment, or it's not real serious. Like, I feel like that kind of thing, they got to carry over to something like pass interference. In my mind, it's just, there's too much ticky-tack calls going on.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I think the league needs to have, they need to start putting out like a weekly report, John, that specifically grades each official's performance based on review. The NBA does something like this, but I want the league to put out a report that grades the official, tells us what how poorly he did in the crew, and then assign games accordingly. And get Sean Hockley off my TV on Thanksgiving because I'm sick of watching Sean Hockley. You know, I mean, there was reports that came out that there was a record amount of people that watched that game, that Cowboys-Raiders game. I think it reached over 38 million people. So a lot of those people had to be probably new viewers, right? People's grandmothers and, you know, moms and stuff like that. People that never watched football before. And they have to be watching that game at the end of the Raiders-Cowboys game being like, I can't watch this. This is brutal. This freaking ref. He's always on the screen. Who is this guy? So, yeah, I think they need to do something like the NBA does to at least show us that they're addressing it, because the officiating is the only thing about the game that I really can't stand. And I'm right. I think the NFL needs more taunting, John. I'm pro-taunting in all sports. Give me all that. So, all right, Chiefs-Broncos, we'll get into that game and the spread right after this.
This is the Tipico Sportsbook Minute. Let's make this interesting.
What's up? This is Jeff Clark from the Bet Slippin' Podcast, presented by SportsbookWire.com. I'm here with my handicapping homie Nathan Beagle to break down this week's Sunday Night Football game between the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens are favored 3.5. The total is 45.5. I'm on the Cleveland Browns getting 3 and the hook. Football Outsiders actually grades the Browns higher than the Baltimore. I think it could be a get-right spot for Cleveland's offense playing against a banged-up Baltimore defensive line and a banged up Baltimore secondary. Nate, how do you see this game playing out?
So Baltimore averages the most rushing yards per game, and the Browns are giving up more than 165 per game. Give me Lamar in the points. Also, the Browns have not lost by less than 3 this season. 3.5 it is.
That was your Tipico Sportsbook Minute. For a limited time, new users in Colorado and New Jersey from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. See Tipico.com for terms and conditions. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado.
All right, John, Chiefs are 9.5-point favorites against the Broncos in Arrowhead. And I guess we just got to debate which Broncos team are we going to get? Are we going to get the team that rushed the Cowboys and the Chargers? Or are we going to get the team that fell flat and got run over by the Eagles, right? Which Broncos team are we going to get in this one?
Well, it's hard to say because the Broncos have had such a roller coaster. And like one week I'm like, oh, the season's over. This team's so bad. And then the next week it's like, oh, wow, like, coming off this Chargers game, like, oh, wow, we're in contention for the AFC West. So it's hard to say, but I would say it is a little comforting that it seems like, to an extent, the Broncos have kind of gotten up for the bigger games. Like the Cowboys game, nobody gave them a chance in that, and they got up for it. I think it's the lesser games that they kind of didn't get up for. Like the Browns, with the Browns being so beat up, maybe they didn't take them as seriously as they should. The Eagles, playing the Eagles at home, and like the Eagles aren't awful, but they're not very good, and they're playing them in Denver, so maybe they didn't take them quite as seriously. I think going into Kansas City on the road, a Chiefs team that beat you 11 times in a row, there's no way they can't take the Chiefs seriously. So I think that if there's any kind of like mental aspect for the reason the Broncos are kind of had a yo-yo season, I think it's a good sign for this week, because I think they're not looking down on the Chiefs and taking them lightly. If anything, maybe the Chiefs would do that just a little bit to the Broncos. So I really think the Broncos, they have a chance in Kansas City, because the Chiefs have had a handful of blowout wins over the Broncos the last few years. But like last year, the Broncos had a game, they lost to them by 8 points. I think it was 2018. They lost by like 3 points and 4 points. And the year before that, they lost by like 3 points. And that's going back a handful of years ago. But It's in the Patrick Mahomes era. There have been some times where they've kept it close. So it's not like every single game has been a blowout. And the Chiefs of late, they've been playing much better, but we saw them have a little bit of a slump earlier this year. And if anybody is going to look at what a defense is doing to the Chiefs and pick up on how it's working, how to pick up Mahomes, I feel like how to make Mahomes uncomfortable, someone like Vic Fangio, someone in my mind who is a defensive guru, I think he's going to pick up on that. So if anybody's going to slow them down, I think the Broncos have a chance. And then you just got to be able to score points on offense. And I feel like the Chiefs, they don't have a terrible run defense, but like it's not a great run defense. And teams that are committed to the run and run on them can establish the ground game. If you run on the Chiefs and if you burn up a lot of clock, you don't let Mahomes be on the field a lot. Like, I truly think they have a chance at this. And I know I've said it before, it's my orange and blue colored glasses. Like, I think of Kansas City, they might surprise some people.
Yeah, I don't think we've done a Broncos Chiefs preview podcast without you picking the Broncos, John. You always think they have a chance. But no, that makes a lot of sense. The Broncos, let's get another Pat Shurmur quota, right? Let's get another 30 rush attempt quota, because the Chiefs' strength on defense, now if you look at their stats, like, they're not great in total defense. They give up a ton of points, but they have a good pass rush. They're pretty good against the pass. They can get after the quarterback a little bit. So how do you combat that? Run the ball right down their throat. So yeah, I don't know. I like that. Let's have another Pat Shurmur quota. 9.5 points. That feels like a lot for a divisional game against a Chiefs team that hasn't really been the Chiefs this year, right? But as you said, the Broncos have been getting up against these good offenses. They did it to the Cowboys. They did it to the Chargers, holding down these really good offenses. And while I do think 9.5 is too high a spread, I think if I'm betting this game, the line I'm looking at is the total. 47.5. Right? 47.5. That feels kind of high. Like, these Chiefs games, the line is always close to 50, usually probably over 50 because of Patrick Mahomes, right? But I don't think the Chiefs are that hard to defend this year, at least not as difficult as they've been in the past. And to your point, I think the Broncos, they have the safeties and the corners that you need to slow them down, right? The key in what other teams have had success doing to the Chiefs this year is playing kind of a prevent defense almost and making them throw it short and march down the field in like 10, 12, 13, 14 play drives and then try to make them kick field goals at the end. It's a good strategy. It's worked a lot against the Chiefs because Mahomes has been throwing picks and they have turnovers and or holding penalties or whatever, right, that blow up a drive. So that's the key. Can you take away the deep stuff and force the Chiefs, you know, stop the Chiefs from going on these quick, like NBA-like 14, 20-point runs that just spin the game out of control? I think you can. I think you have the personnel to do that. Couple that with a run-heavy game plan for Denver, and I like the under. I think if I'm betting this game, I'm under 47.5. I think this line is a little bit inflated because it's the Chiefs, but I don't think the game script is going to really play into that, right? So I think if I'm betting the game, 47.5, give me the under. What do you think?
Yeah, I could see where you're going there, because I think if you just look at this Chargers game the Broncos just played, the Chargers kind of, they didn't really have a lot of chunk plays. They moved the ball down the field, like they drove a couple times, but then the Broncos either had an interception or the Chargers drive stalled out. So I think that is something that the Broncos are capable of doing. And I see what you're saying about the total too, because if it's like a 20-17 game or like a 21-20 game, you know, if it's something close, which I think it could be, and the Broncos hold them within a 20-point range, which they've done a lot this season. Like, the defense has held opponents to a limited score. And the Broncos offense, even if they score, even if like 21 points is enough to win, that's not lighting up the scoreboard. Like, all year they haven't been lighting up the scoreboard. So I could see why you're predicting the under. But I even think 9.5 points, I think the Broncos could keep it within 10. Even if the Broncos lose, I think they could definitely keep it within 10. Because like I just said, last year, they lost to them by 8 points. And the Broncos were a little different last year. The Chiefs are a little different this year. But I just think in general, you know, you got Vic Fangio running the defense, Patrick Mahomes, still the Chiefs quarterback. I think within 10 points is reasonable. Like if the Broncos lose, I could see the Chiefs winning on like a last second field goal or like, I don't know, like a touchdown game that's still less than 9.5. So I could see where you're going with the total, but I think even just the spread for a Kansas City victory, I think even that Denver could hit.
Yeah. And I feel like, 9.5 feels high. And I feel like if the Broncos, even if they lose and cover, You know, if they cover that, lose by a touchdown or less or something like that, like, I feel pretty good about the team. I feel good. And as long as they don't get blown out in Kansas City,
agreed.
I don't need them to win. I just want them to show they can compete and show us that if you need to beat Kansas City in the last game of the year to get in at home, you can do it. Show me that, right? That's what I'm looking for. But yeah, I think it's Denver's defense. I'm high on their defense in this matchup, John. I think they can kind of match it up. And you know me, when we talked about, did some fantasy stuff preseason talking about the Broncos, I was very high on getting the Broncos defense on my fantasy team, right? And in the league I do every year, it's a 14-team league. I have Denver, and I benched them against the Cowboys. They broke my heart. And then I benched them against the Chargers, and they broke my heart. I got all these points on my bench. I'd never start the Broncos against these, tough matchups.
And I think this dangerous game.
Yeah, and I'm in a big playoff race here. I'm trying to get my ass in the playoffs.
Oh, man.
I think I got to start them against the Chiefs. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to start Denver's defense against the Chiefs. They don't have a very high projected total on my screen when I'm looking at my team, but I'm going to say screw it because the Broncos seem to always play well against these juggernaut offenses. So why not? I'm going to go for it. Wish me luck,
That's a really bold move, but I really like it as a Broncos fan, a Broncos follower. Like, I hope that pays off. And like you were saying, I'm not going to be mad if the Broncos lose and it's close. Like, of course I want them to win. Like, I want to beat the Chiefs. Their fans are cocky. The players are cocky. Like,
they're annoying.
When you beat someone 11 times in a row, of course you're going to be confident. And it's irritating from a Broncos perspective. So, of course, I want to beat them. But as long as the Broncos don't look terrible and as long as they don't get blown out, I'm going to feel okay going into a home game against the Lions because the Broncos are still in contention in the AFC playoff picture. So I agree with you that I'm not going to be freaking out if they lose this game. But if they do manage to win, I'd be very happy about that. And I really hope playing their defensive fantasy works out for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Right. Always good stuff from John Heath. Make sure you're checking out his stuff on the Broncos Wire. I'm Ryan O'Leary. We will catch you after Denver, Kansas City. Looking forward to that one. Talk to you then.
This USA Today Sports podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.